Today's shir is Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Tazayin. We're going to begin in Daf Kuf Tazayin, Amar Aleph, six lines from the bottom, Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yehuda. Just to review, we had learned in the previous shir a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna. The Torah says, Layachbal Rechaim Verechev, that one is not allowed to take the stones of the millstone as a mashkin from a loiva that owes you money. Furthermore, the Torah continues saying, Ki nefesh uchayvel, which as we learned in the previous year, comes to teach us that any keli that's used for oichel nefesh may not be taken for a mashkin. We then learned at the end of yesterday's shir, a machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. One is the halacha, if somebody takes Rechaim V'Rechev, how many malchus would he get? Rav Huna's opinion was that he would get three malchus, Rechaim, Rechev, and Ki Nefesh U'Chayvel. Rav Yehuda's opinion was that if you take Rechaim V'Rechev, you don't get malchus for Ki Nefesh U'Chayvel. And if you take something else, you get malchus for Nefesh U'Chayvel, but not for Rechaim V'Rechev. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now quotes a brisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The brisa says, Chovel Zug Shel Safarim. If somebody took as a mashkin the scissors, and we have here Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what type of scissors we're talking about. Rashi says we're talking about a regular pair of scissors used by barber. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos and other Rishonim say that a scissor of a barber is not used for oichel nefesh. And the passage that speaks about ki nefesh uchayvel speaks about a keli used for oichel nefesh. And therefore Tosfos explains it's referring to zog shel misparayim, scissors used for cutting vegetables. The tzemet shel parois, or somebody took a pair of oxen. And again, Rashi seems to learn that we're talking about taking oxen themselves, although later Rashi seems to retract. And again, Tosfos doesn't agree with that pshat, because Tosfos says that oxen themselves, even if they're used for plowing, don't become a keli of oichel nefesh, similar to what we discussed in the previous year, that food itself is not considered a keli of oichel nefesh. And furthermore, Tosfos seems to be of the opinion that plowing is not considered oichel nefesh because it doesn't affect the food itself. It only prepares the ground that on that ground you'll be able to plow. Chayiv shtayim. Chayiv for two averis. If you took, says the Brice, the zeba atzmai, and there's two ways of learning this line. If you took one of the blades, or you took one of the oxen, or if Tosfos Pshat, you took one of the yokes that are used when we thresh, which is called Oichel Nefesh, you chayiv alachas, because you only took one of them. Other Rishonim learned the Gemara as follows. The Shita quotes this opinion. That let's say you took one of the blades, and then afterwards you took the other blade, since you had already taken one blade, and you already been over the Avera, the second blade will not cause you to be chayiv another Avera. So now we have a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos. If this brisa that the Gemara just quoted, is in itself a raya against Rav Huna. Rashi's opinion is that this brisa in itself doesn't prove anything about Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna, when he said, as I said at the beginning of the shir, that Yechayiv for three Averis by Rechayim V'Rechev, is referring to a situation that you took Rechayim V'Rechev. So you have Rechayim, you have Rechev, and you have Nefesh U'Chayvel. But here you're taking scissors, or you're taking Tzemet Shel Bakar. So here you'll only be Chayiv too. So this doesn't disprove, according to Rashi, Rav Huna's opinion on its own. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that this brisa on its own already disproves Rav Huna's opinion. Because since here, we're not chayiv for Rechaim V'Rechev, it's not Rechaim V'Rechev. So you're only chayiv for Ki Nefesh U'Chayvel. If you're only chayiv for Nefesh U'Chayvel, why when you take the pier, are you chayiv for two? You should only be chayiv for one, for nefesh u'chayvel. So therefore, Tosfos holds that this price on its own disproves Rav Huna's opinion. And that impacts on how to read the next word of the Gemara, Vitanya. According to Rashi, the Gir says Al Gemara is as Al Gemara says. It's only after we learned, we'll learn now the second brisa. By combining these two brises, Rav Huna's opinion is disproved, and we follow Rav Yehuda's opinion. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, as I just explained, that the first brisa in its own effectively disproved Rav Huna's opinion. And therefore, Tosfos says the girsa should be tanyidach. And now the Gemara citing another brisa, which Tosfos says will disprove Rav Huna's opinion. Because this brisa says, chaval zug shel tzapraim, the tzemet shabakas, yochli yachay el achas, I would think that you only chayiv one malchus, tamalayim ye lo yachbur chayim v'rechev. Ma rechayim v'rechev, shem yuchadim shnei kelim, that they're two separate kelim, as we learned yesterday, the rechayim and the rechev, each stone is considered a separate kleli. Vois malach achas, even though they are doing one, they accomplish one goal, chayiv al zebefnei atzmai, chayiv al zebefnei atzmai, af kol dvorim sheshnei kelim yuchadim, vois malach achas, chayiv al zebefnei atzmai, zebefnei atzmai. And as Rashi explains, the brisa here is comparing a zug shel tzapraim to rechayim v'rechav. And what the brisa is saying is that whatever the halacha is by zug shel tzapraim will be the halacha by rechayim v'rechav. And since, as we learned the first brisa, again following Rashi's interpretation, that by zug shel tzapraim you only chayiv for two, and now the Gemara says that rechayim v'rechav have the same halacha, so by rechayim v'rechav you'll only be chayiv two. Clearly contrary to what Rav Huna said. Because as we learned, Rav Huna says that Rechayim v'rechav you'll be chayiv three. So by combining these two brises, that the first brise says that by zug shel tzapraim you chayiv two, and by Rechayim v'rechav being equated to zug shel tzapraim, it's right, you only chayiv two, like Rav Yehuda said by Rechayim v'rechav, not like Rav Huna said that by Rechayim v'rechav you'll be chayiv three. And it's because of this combination, Rav Huna's position is disproven. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that the second brisa on its own disproves Rav Huna. Because the second brisa says that Yechayiv 2, and the halach is that Yechayiv 3. Says the Gemara, according to Rav Huna. Says the Gemara. Somebody took somebody else's knife. And here too we have a machloikish. What type of knife is being referred to? Rashi seems to learn that's talking about a butcher's knife. But many Rishonim dispute Rashi's pshat, because as will become clear in the Gemara, as we learn the Gemara, a butcher's knife may have a different halacha. And therefore they say we're referring to a shoychet's knife. He took somebody else's shoychet's knife, osla kamei da baya, and he brought this question to baya, amale zila hadre, go return the knife, to have a keli shoys by oichel nefesh. It's a keli that's used for oichel nefesh, v'su kam bedina Allah. And then, you have a complaint that the loiva isn't paying you, let's go to the entire. So, the Rishonim discuss this halacha. And they say that this keli that was taken was a keli sh'oisim by oichel nefesh. And as we have been learning, you're not allowed to take a keli sh'oisim by oichel nefesh as a mashkin. And that's why Abayi said to return it. And that is a dispute amongst Rishonim. What was the basis of Abayi telling him that he has to return it? Some Rishonim, and this is the simplest pshat given by the Rishonim, say that as we've been learning these sugyas, we've been learning that the halacha is that a malva is not allowed to take from a loiva the mashkin by going into his house. And furthermore, the halacha is if you take something from the loiva that he needs by day, something he needs by night, You have to make sure to return it to him every day, to make sure to return it every night. Then there's another halacha that you're not allowed to take at all, a kalish oisim by oichel nefesh. Say these rishonim, that all the other halachas that the Torah taught us regarding taking a mashkin from a loiva, that you have to return to him what he needs, also apply to kalish oisim by oichel nefesh. And that's why Abaye says that if you took a kalish oisim by oichel nefesh, even though you weren't supposed to take that keli, the halacha is that you have to return it. Like the halacha would be by any other mashkin that you take from a loiva, a keli that he needs. And that's why Abaye said, this loiva needs this keli, return it. That's how some rishonim learn. Tosfos learns the Gemara differently. Tosfos learns that this malva took this keli oisim by Echel Nefesh by mistake. He wasn't aware that he's not allowed to take it. And since it was a toss, it was a mistake that he took it, when he now became aware from Abaye telling him that you weren't supposed to take it, give it back. That's Tosfos pshat. The Mordechai has a different pshat, a different approach. The Mordechai says that the Isser for Malva to take the Keli Shoysen by Echel Nefesh isn't just an Isser at the moment that he takes it. It's an Isser at every moment. I'm not allowed to take this Keli. And every moment that I have it, I'm over that Isser of Ki Nefesh Uchayvel. And therefore I have the obligation to stop that Isser, to repair it by giving it back. The Achiezer has a similar approach to Mordechai with a different perspective. He says, since the Torah says that you're not allowed to take a keli shoysen by Eichel Nefesh, by taking such a keli, you're a gazlan. And the halacha is that a gazlan has to return what he stole. And therefore, no different than any gazlan, you have to return the keli. So Abaye said to him two things. One, as we just explained, you have the obligation to return the keli. And second of all, now, does it go to Din Torah? He says, you say he owes you money, take him to Din Torah. Rava, Amma, but Tzarech Lamekim Medin Allah. As the Rishonim explain, Rava wasn't arguing on the first part of what Abaye says, that you're not allowed to take a keli shoysen b'yechal nefesh, and that you have to return a keli shoysen b'yechal nefesh. Rava was arguing on what Abaye said regarding the Din Torah. Abaye says, not as the Din Torah between the Malva and the Loiva, that the Malva will claim to the Loiva, you owe me, and you have to pay me back. Rava says that given the circumstances, the Malva has a much stronger position in the Din Torah. Why does he have a stronger position in the Din Torah? Because he has a Migui. Because now that he's holding on to the Skeli of the Loiva, he could say that this Keli is mine. Lekuchi hi biyodei, I bought it. And therefore, since he has the migui, and he's not saying that I bought it, but he's saying, I took it from you, but you owe me money, that migui gives the malver strength in this debate, in this dispute between him and the loiva. Letzorach lemekim din aloi, however, says Rava, how much of a migui does he have? V'yochalitana k'dei demeyim. That means, this way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Let's say the Malva says that the Loiva owes him $1,000. And he took this Keli and he's holding on to this Keli. The Keli is worth $100. So as far as $100 of the money that the Malva says the Loiva owes him, he has a strong position because he could say that this Keli belongs to me. L'kuchi biyadi. So when I'm being honest, this how Amigui always works, when I'm being honest and saying that I did take it from you because you owe me the money, I'm in a strong position. But only in strong position as much as the keli is worth. If the keli is worth $100, for $100 of the loan that the Malva is claiming from the loiva, he's in a strong position. However, point out the Paiskim that he will, even though he has this migui, still need to make a shvuah. And it's not just the shvuah's hesis which the Rabbanan typically institute that one has to make, it's actually a much stronger shvua that he will have to make. Why is it considered a stronger shvua that he has to make? Because it's somewhat of a migo de haza. I have your keli. Everybody agreed that it was your keli. And now, by saying this migui, I will be able to win the Din Torah. Furthermore, as the Mefarshim point out, not only is it a migui de ha'aza, it's a migui lahaitzi, because I'm using the migui to be able to extract money from you. Usually, a migui is only to keep what I have, but to use a migui to extract, we don't usually say migui lahaitzi, and therefore if we are, as Rav is arguing, relying on the migui, we could only rely on it as in as far that he also has to back the migui up with a shvur chamura. Others say that it's not a migui d'haza. The Shach says it's not a migui d'haza, because the Shach says the only time something is considered a migui d'haza is if you leave a pikadon by me, or you lend me something, and then I say, I could have said that I bought it, and therefore trust me, that says the Shach, and that says is considered migui d'haza. Here I didn't get it through a loan, or through a pikadon, and that's why it's not a migui d'haza. Furthermore, other mefarshim say that this is not considered a migui l'haitzi, because I'm holding on to what I already have, because the halacha considers anything that you have as it's yours already, and it's not considered migui d'haitzi. Ask the Gemara, v'abaya lesle ha'svara, does Abaya not subscribe to this concept of having a migui that he could have said l'kuchi miyadi? Maishna, why is this any different for Gemara? We're going to learn in Sechet Babasra. The Gemara says, mahani izi doch l'chosh l'man hadar. There's somebody who had goats that ate the barley of someone else in Hadar. So the person whose barley was eaten, also mar the choshla, the tafas lahu, the person who owned the barley came and seized those goat, the katan tuva. And he says, you, the owner of the goats, should pay me for that barley. And why do I have an amonis? Because I could have said, l'kuchi biyadi. I could have said that those goats belong to me. Vama avudishmu. Again, since he has that migui, it gives him a strength to yochalutan akdei demayim, that he has an amonis as much as the goats are worth. Since he has a migui on that much value, because he could have argued that those goats belong to me, that gives him an amonis. So we see that we do follow the concept of saying a migui of l'kuchi biyadi. Why don't we say it over here? Answer the Gemara, we can't compare the two situations. Hasam, goats are lav midi de avdi losha lagurihu. Goats are not something that are normally lent or rented. And therefore, my holding these goats, I could strongly argue l'kuchihi biyadi. And since I could strongly argue l'kuchihi biyadi, it gives me a lot of nemonis. And that's why everybody will agree he has the migui. Hacha, however, here in our Gemara, we're referring to a knife. A knife is midi de l'shuli lagurihi. It's something made to lend or to rent, and therefore, my possessing it doesn't prove that it's mine, that I should be able to have a migui of l'kuchi biyadi that belongs to me. Because not every time that I have a knife doesn't mean it's mine. I might have borrowed it from you, I might have rented it from you. So there's a machlaikas, Rambam and Ravid. How do we identify something if it's considered midi de lashuli laguri, made to lend or to rent? The Rambam learns that anything that's specifically made to be lent or rented is considered midi de lashuli laguri. His example, let's say you have a very big pot. A pot like that is only used when you have a party. Nobody needs a pot like that in their home. That is a kind of an item, says the Rambam, that's midi de lashuli laguri. You don't need it for yourself, because you don't only need it to use only when you're making a party. The Ravid has a much broader definition of midi de lashuli laguri. The Ravid's opinion is that anything that's typically lent out or rented out, even if it's not specifically made for that purpose, is considered midi de lashuli laguri. And the Rai and the Baron Cutler has a beautiful pshat in explaining the machloikis we showing him here. He says that the Rambam's opinion is that we always follow the Morakama. We always follow the person who originally owned it. And therefore, the fact that this person had, that this pap was mine, should give me, the original owner, a lot of power. Only when it's something that's not specifically created for that purpose, it's created to be distributed and lent out, do I not have the power of a Morakama. The Ravid, says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, holds that we always look at the person who's a muchzik. Who's holding it currently? And right now I'm holding it. Doesn't make a difference who the Morakama is, who's the person that held it before, unless it's something that's usually lent out, and therefore my holding it means nothing. The show, where do we see this concept that there's a difference between something that's made to be lent and rented versus something that's not? The Sholach Rav Huna bar Oven, Vrama Asun Lahash Lahasker, something that's normally lent out or rented, Vrama L'Kuchi Miyada, and the person who's holding it said, I own it, Eimen Nemen. And that's why here we're talking about a knife. Since it's a knife, it's Midi De L'Shuli L'Gurei, that's why Abaye will say he doesn't have the Migui of L'Kuchi Miyada. So now ask the Gemara on Rava. How could Rava say that he has this migui? Doesn't Rava also subscribe to this concept? The Rava lesli haisvara. The Rava apik zuga de sabala. Rava did not let the person holding on to the scissors or safra de garata miyasmi bedvar masuim lahash lahaskar. The story goes as follows. There was a person who had someone else's scissors, had somebody else's sefer that they had a galata written into that sefer. And the person passed away. And now the Yisoyimim are holding on to that sefer. The Yisoyimim are holding on to that scissor. So were it an item that's not typically lent or rented, lent out or rented, we could say on behalf of the Yisoyimim that this must have been something that your father bought, and it's his, and now you inherit it. On the other hand, if it's an item, whatever definition we have, a dvar masuim lahash lahaskar, that is normally lent or rented, we can, the fact that it was in the father's possession when he passed away, and now the Yisoyimim have it, is no indication that it would really belong to the father. And therefore, if the original owner comes and claims that he just lent or rent this item to the father, the Yisoyimim possession of the item won't prove that it belonged to the father. So we see that Rabbi subscribes that there's a difference between a keli that's osi lahash lahaskel versus a keli that's not osi lahash lahaskel. So now Rashi explains, why is sifra d'agadita something that's not osi lahash lahaskel? So Rashi says, most of the learning was in halacha, Gemara halacha, not agadata. And therefore, sifri d'agadata, given that the owner of these svarim didn't really need those svarim that often, that meant people lent and rented out. Whereas a Gemara, sifri halacha, that you need all the time, those are svarim that people don't lend or rent, they need it themselves. Taisus disagrees. Taisus says that sifri halacha are more important than Sifri Agada. And he says, if a person lends a Sifri Agada, he certainly lends out his Sifri Halacha, because his friend, his neighbor, certainly needs those Svarim. And this Machlaikis of Rashi and Taisvis, I saw from Yisuk Zilberstein, I saw from his father-in-law, Rebbe Yoshev, is very relevant, La Locha Lamaisa. Where is it relevant, La Locha Lamaisa? It's relevant to the following shaila. Somebody donated, he promised that he pledged that he's going to give svarim to shul. So what svarim should he give? Says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, based on what Taisvah says, that since Taisvah said that Sifri Halacha are more important than Sifri Agada, if you pledge to give svarim to shul and you didn't specify which svarim you're giving, give Sifri Halacha. Taisa says they're more important. The only qualification Rabbi Yosher makes in that psak is that, let's say it's a shul, where people are more likely to use the Sifrei Agada over the Sifrei Halacha. Let's say they have plenty of Sifrei Halacha already. They don't have that many Sifrei Agada. Or it's a shul that most of the people come on Shabbos, and people like to look up Divrei Torah on the parasha Friday night, Shabbos by day. So even though Tosfos taught us that Sifrei Halacha are more important than Sifrei Agada, but people are more likely to use the Sifrei Agada than give Sifrei Agada. But we see from here that Rava certainly holds that there's by an item which is lent or rent out, we don't have the concept of being able to say lekuchi biyadi. The fact that I possess it gives me strength. So why over here, the fact that the malva took the knife from the loiva gives him the ability to say, trust me that the loiva owes me the money. Because I could have said lekuchi biyadi. You don't say lekuchi biyadi or a knife. A knife is something that's made to lend or rent. Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rava, Hai Nami, the knife that we're talking about is a knife that's used by Shaychtim. And a knife that's used by Shaychtim, Kivan the Mipogma, Kapti in Shivalai Mishli. We know that a knife used by Shaychit, if it has any pegimah, has any nick, can't be used. So Shaychit will not lend or rent his knife. So if I have the Shaychit's knife, he can't argue I lent it to him, I rent it to him, because nobody lends or rents a that type of knife. So my having that knife is a proof that I could have said lekuchi biyadi, and that gives me the migui to say that the loiva owes me the money. Hanu lachem makabel, hanu lachem makabel, hanu lachem makabel. We begin Beza Hashem Yisbarach, the last mishnah of this, the last perek of our mesechta. This mishnah is referring to a situation. Unlike, says the Meiri, most of the Mishnayos of this Perek, most of the Mishnayos of this Perek refer to a situation of a partnership. Furthermore, many Rishonim say that the concepts and the issues that will be discussed in this Perek are really concepts and issues that are more relevant, actually, to Masechta Bava Basra, to Masechta Bava Metzia. We're starting to get in to Masechta Bava Basra, the next Masechta we're going to learn. This Mishnah is referring to a situation where two people own a home together. Unlike the other Mishnais in this Perek that mostly speak about a tenant and a landlord in a home. So says the Mishnah, Habayis Valiyah Shel Shnayim. You have a home, a two-story home, owned by two people together, partners or brothers yashin the home together. And this home collapsed, Shnaflu. Shneim chalkim be'etzim ba'avonim ba'ofer. Unlike nowadays, where a home to collapse, we just dump the rubble, then they reused all of the raw materials. And now they're coming to divide those raw materials, says the Mishnah, they're divided between the owner of the upper story and the owner of the lower story. Say to Rishonim, obviously, the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the upper story and the lower story are the exact same size. So it's a perfect partnership, 50-50. If one floor was larger than the other floor, or was more valuable than the other floor, we would not divide these raw materials right down the middle. Rather, we would divide it proportionally according to their shares of ownership. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'royin Ela Avonim Asuris L'shtaber. As the Gemara is going to explain, there are two ways that a house could collapse. It could collapse downward, that the entire wall just collapses, or it could collapse sideways, that the wall falls down. Obviously, when we're going to use the bricks, or try to reuse the bricks, the whole bricks are more valuable than the broken bricks. So if the house broke by just collapsing downwards, we could assume that the whole bricks were the bricks on top and the broken bricks were the ones on bottom because the house broke, fell down, straight down. And therefore, the owner of the lower apartment will get the broken bricks and the owner of the upper story will get the bricks, the whole bricks. If, on the other hand, the way the wall fell, it fell sideways, then it's just the opposite. The broken bricks are probably the bricks from the upper story which we'll give to the person who owns the upper story, and the lower bricks are the ones that remain whole, and we'll give it to them. Give it to him. However, says the Mishnah, Em hayo echme makr miktsas avonam, if one of these two partners is able to identify, the Gemara is going to explain this more soon, that these bricks belong to me, he sort of is able to say it, then we give him the bricks he says are his. But they're part of the cheshbon that he deserves, which the Gemara will explain. Says the Gemara, Midakani Royin, since our Mishnah says that there's a way, as I just explained, of identifying who is the owner of the broken bricks and who's the one that gets, who's the owner of the whole bricks, Mechlal, the Ikla Mekon Lay, there is a way of determining, Iba Chafsa Nafal, if it just collapsed downwards, Iba Chafta Nafal, or it fell sideways. Ask the Gemara if it could be determined. And based on that determination, we'll know who should get the whole bricks, the upper story, the lower story, and who should get the broken bricks, the lower story, the upper story. The Hachi asked the Gemara, why does the Mishnah begin? Resha Amai Chalkim, why does the Mishnah just begin? That we divide everything right down the middle. Why not Nechsi? Why not determine Ibechafte Elyasa if the wall fell because it fell sideways, then Elias Isper. Then it's the upper bricks that broke. And we'll give the upper story all the broken bricks. And if it fell downwards, Tesios Asper, it's the bottom floor that will get the broken bricks. Why does the Mishnah just say we divide everything right down the middle? Answers the Gemara, it fell by night. Nobody saw how it fell. Ask the Gemara, just because we didn't actually see how it fell, in the morning, we can easily tell what happened here. If all the bricks are right down where it fell, it obviously fell downwards. If this ruined further, it obviously fell straight sidewards. The fact that we didn't actually see how it broke shouldn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, depeninu. By the time the two partners show up in the morning, it was all cleared away. And we no longer, it was all cleared, put together, and we no longer have a way of determining what happened. Ask the Gemara, Flechsim man peninu, why don't we ask the person who cleared it, Vilashaylum, and ask them what did it look like before you cleared it? Answers the Gemara, the peninu b'nei rishus rabim, the people who cleared it were from the street, Vilazul la'alma, they're not here to ask. So ask the Gemara, let's see in whose property it is currently. And this is the way the Tosfos HaRosh explains the Gemara. A very important concept the Tosfos HaRosh says. Tosfos HaRosh says, we're faced with a dilemma. We don't know whose bricks are whose. So says the Tosfos HaRosh, the Halacha teaches us that when faced with such a dilemma, when faced with such a situation, Hamaitse Chavera Olav Araya teaches us that whoever has it must be the owner. So let's see who has the physical possession of the whole bricks, even though it doesn't really tell us anything about what actually happened, but his possession of those whole bricks, Paskin, that he is the owner of those whole bricks, even though it doesn't mean that he really owns it, but the Halacha says, when not knowing what to do, do it, follow that guide. Answers the Gemara, Metzrich Niyas B'chatzot Tavayu. It was, the bricks are in a chatzot that's owned by both people. So it isn't one more than the other. Inami, the bricks were put into Rishus Rabim. Again, not more mine than yours. V'bayis Ema, Shut Mikai Gavne L'kav Da'adadi. Even if it was brought into one Rishus, more than the other Rishus, we're talking about two people who are partners. And they don't care. And the fact that my item is in your Rishus, or your item is my Rishus, doesn't tell me anything, because we really don't care. And there's a machloikis rishonim, how to understand, and it has a very interesting nafkamina la'alocha, how do we understand l'kapti hadadi? Rashi seems to learn, this is what Tzois explains Rashi, that l'kapti hadadi means that we're makna, we give Rishus, we're makna to each other, that you could keep your thing in my Rishus. That's the kind of relationship. I give you, I makna you a portion of my rishus. It's more of a formal kinyan, the way Rashi explains it. Other Rishonim say it's not a formal kinyan. There's no formal kinyan between these two individuals. Rather, the way other Rishonim explain it is, people don't care, since we have a relationship, if you leave something in my rishus, I don't care. Not that I made a kinyan, I just don't care. What's the nafgamina? So I saw for an Naftali Trop that he quotes a Torah that says an interesting machloikis. He says, when we say this concept of lekapti hadodi, one opinion the Torah cites, lekapti hadodi means, since we're not makbid on each other, the fact that it's any either one of our rishus means nothing. That's one opinion that the Torah cites. The other opinion the Torah says, it's only up to a certain point, but it's not forever. What is the machloikis of these two opinions cited by the Torah? Explains Rav Naftali Trop, a beautiful pshat. If we follow Rashi's lomdus, that it's a concept of kinyan, that since we're not makbid in each other, I'm makin to you a share of my rishus, a kinyan is forever. And therefore, the fact that it's in my rishus will not prove anything ever. If, however, we follow the other opinion of the Rishonim, that it's just because we have this relationship and therefore I don't care, what does it mean I don't care? I don't care that if you leave something in my rishus temporarily, we're friends, we're neighbors, we're partners, it's fine. But that doesn't mean I'm going to let you leave it by me forever. And therefore, according to that opinion of the Torah, it's only up to a certain point that it's to be expected that I don't care if you leave it by me. But once it goes past such a point, the fact that it's in my rishus will be an indication that it's mine. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah taught us, Ma'yachem and Makar, but if one of us is able to identify that it's his, then it becomes his. Ask the Gemara of Allah Matayim. I'm saying that I can identify these stones are mine. So what are you saying? Either come in, if you're agreeing, so there's no dispute, pshita, that I could take it. V'loy amir in, and if you're not agreeing, so why do I have a right to say it? Just because I say it, what makes that be right? Lama naitel, says the Gemara, el da amir eni yedeya. I say I know that these whole stones are mine, and you say I don't know. Ask the Gemara, Leim Davit Yufta, Rav Nachman. So, how do we understand this Gemara? That's a situation of Bari Veshema. I'm certain that these whole stones are mine. You're a Shema. And Allah is Bari Veshema, Bari Adaf. Ask the Gemara, but we've quoted many times the opinion of Rav Nachman that doesn't follow Bari Veshema. Ditma, Mana Libiyotcha. I come to you and I say, you owe me $100. V'Allah omer eni yedeya. And you say, you know what? I just don't know. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Machayiv, you have to pay me. Why? Bari v'shem, bari odif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amar Potter. Because bari v'shem, bari odif doesn't mean that I should win. So why in this case, ask the Gemara, the fact that I am saying that these stones are certainly mine, and you're saying I don't know, gives me the ability to take the whole stones. And Tysus makes a very important point. Not here. But Tysus makes an important point that when do we consider something Bari Vishama, Bari Adif? Only in a case where we have the Machloikis, where I say to you, you owe me $100. And you say, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. So here we have Machloikis. Do we say Bari Vishama, Bari Adif or not? But what will be the halacha that I say to you, you owe me $100. And you say, yes, I borrowed $100 from you, but I don't remember if I paid you back. There, says Tysus, and many Rishonim, that even Rav Nachman will agree, they will say, Bari Vishem and Bari Adif. Why? Because I certainly have a claim, and you're not sure everybody will agree with Bari Vishem and Bari Adif. Our Gemara is strictly in a case, the halacha, the machlokes is on a case, which is like our Gemara, where I'm saying these stones are mine, and you say, I don't know if they were ever yours. But were you to agree that they were yours, we wouldn't say, then everybody would agree, we say, Bar Vishem, Bar Yadav. So now the question is, Rav Nachman doesn't subscribe to that, so why do you have to give up? Answered Gemara, could Amar Rav Nachman, could go and sheesh esek shvuah beinayim. It's a situation where you have to make a shvuah. We had this Gemara previously in Daf Tzadik Ches. And if you can't make a shvuah, Rav Nachman will agree that the bari prevails. Hachinami, Kigon Shes Esha Shvu B'neim, where you have to make a shvua, and since you have to make a shvua, if you can't, then I, the bari, will prevail. Hechidami Esha Shvu, what is the example? Says the Makhdi Rava. Dama Rava, we had this Gemara, as I said. Mana Labiyotcha, I say you owe me $100. So Rav Nachman says, if I say you owe me $100, and you say, I don't know if I ever owed you $100, Rav Nachman says we don't say Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. But what will be the halacha if you say, $50 I know, and $50 I just don't know? Since you're moided to $50, you become a moided b'mixis. A moided b'mixis has to make a shvua. If you can't make the shvua, then you'll have to pay. V'alo oma eni yideya, el chamishim, v'sha eni yidey, metok sheni yoch l'shova yushalim. Here too, what's going to be the case? This is what Rosh Hashanah explained to Gemara. The stones fell. There's some stones, I claim that 50 stones are mine. 20 stones you say, I agree, are yours. 30 stones you say, I just don't know. So you're a might of a mix. You'd have to swear. You can't swear because you really don't know. That's why I could take, even according to Rav Nachman, all 50 whole stones that I'm claiming are mine. Then we learn Arvus Leiman Cheshvin. What does that mean? Savar Arvus Leiman, Lefi Cheshvin Shvurs, which means as follows. Let's say there are 200 stones. 100 are whole, 100 are broken. Were we to have a situation where nobody recognizes anything, we'd have to divide it 50 and 50 whole, 50 and 50 broken. I come along and I say 20 of the whole stones are mine. So Ray Rashi explains the Gemara, those 20 stones are mine. Then I'll get 50 other whole stones that I would have gotten. You'll take 30 whole stones, 70 broken stones, and I'll get 30 broken. So at the end of the day, I'll get 70 whole and 30 broken, and you'll get 70 broken and 30 whole. Amma, kivin de eni yideya, since you're saying you don't know, and I say I do know, your position is weakened. Reyit fei. Amma Abaya asks Abaya to Rava, Adarabba, ho reyit fei, why can't we argue the other way? Midahani yoda, tfei lo yoda, sulei islei, vidach kula dehech ninu. What it means is as follows. If I am able to say 20 stones are mine, what I'm saying is all the other stones that are whole are not mine. Why do I only recognize 20? I'm such a big expert. I know all my stones. So if I am only able to say that 20 are mine, or 30 are mine, let's use the same example, I'll keep the 30 that are whole, and you'll get the 70 that are whole. The other 70. Elam Abaya, Lefi Cheshbon Shleimus. That's exactly what happens. I get the 20 that are whole, and you'll get the 70, the 30 that are whole that I identified, and you'll get all other 70. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah seems to say that the person who identifies the whole ones are in a stronger position. But the way Abai is explaining it, I'm in a weaker position. I'm only going to get those 30 that I identified, and you're going to get the other 70. Answers the Gemara, those 30 that I identified may be better than the 70 that you're getting. Why? L'malbin Rivcha. Maybe they're bigger stones, so there's 30 whole stones, but the 30 better ones, the bigger, inami, tina de mavda, they're made out of better clay. The Sma says, you could set an easy pshat, that you're right, in a case where I'm only able to identify 30 whole stones, so the way Abai explains the Gemara, I end up losing. But let's say the case would have been different. I am able to identify 70 whole stones, so I'll get 70, and you'll only get 30. That's the case that the Mishnah refers to, that I, by being able to identify which whole stones are mine, end up in a stronger position.